Wednesday was 8th of February, Yutzayin Shvat, Rabbi Levi Yitzchok Shapira, Tzvilas Kelim.
Good morning, thank you very much for the honor to share a little bit here. So, well, the topic today we'll discuss is some halachas of Tfilas Kelim. We'll see how it's related to Kashrus as well. But we're all familiar with the halacha, obviously, that one who buys Kelim, Klei Suda, any dishes, pots and pans, items that are used for the Suda, the Torah tells, we'll see maybe a little bit soon, that there is a chiyuv to tovel them in a mikveh before you use them. This is regardless if they're new or they're used. And we learned this from the story of Klei Midyan. When the Yidden fought the war and they won over Midyan, they collected different kelim, and the Torah says that they have to be kashered. And the way that they were kashered was with either boiling water, with hot fire, and then it also tells us, we learn from the psukim there, we'll get a little later into some of the diyukim there, that there's also a chiyuv to tovel mikveh. The Yerushalmi says this is a concept of the giyur, going from a kedusha of Yisrael to a kedusha, from a kedusha of a goy to a kedusha of Yisrael, is a chiyuv of tefila. Today we live in a modern age that sometimes there are kli suda, there are items that have a difficulty being tovel them, electronics, you put them in the mikveh, they can get ruined, and so on and so forth. Is there a practical method how these kelim would be, can be manufactured without chiv of tefillah? Sometimes, not familiar here in London, but in the U.S., sometimes you'll see on different appliances, it has a stamp, it's kosher, leit sarich tefillah. How does that process work? So one of the din of tefillah is required only if a goy makes the keli, but if a yid makes the kli, then it's obviously not chayiv tefillah. What happens if I own the raw materials, the sheet metal, and I give it to a goy? The goy should fabricate the kli for me. Is it chayiv tefillah? The pashtus, let's start with step one. Step one is that a yid buys the raw material, gives it to the goy to make for him, and then it's always in the bailus of a yid, and therefore there's no requirement of tefillah. So if you want to go to a, this is done, and what I'm going to go through some possibilities, and there may be variety of variations of how it's done and practical, but the concept is you go to a manufacturer, electronics, appliances manufacturer, and you say, you know what, let me buy from you the raw materials before you make the kli, so therefore it's always made under Bailus Yisrael, and therefore doesn't require tefillah. How do you create this kinyan, so to speak? How do you make it so that the raw materials, the sheet metal, etc., etc., belongs to the yid in the fabric, in the manufacturing factory? So the simplest way is if it's a local guy, you can go into the place and you see on the pallet of all this stuff, and you do akbar, you make a kinyan, you pick it up, you can pay him for it. But we know that a kinyan, shicha, kinyan, hakbar is koina. What happens if it's a factory, Me'ever Layam in China, for example, where a lot of the things are manufactured? Can you pay the guy for it, and then you'll own it before, you'll own the raw materials before he creates the kli? Where do we have such a concept that one could pay someone for an item, and even though you live far away, you could be coin it? So the easiest comparison that we have, well, we could think of, is Mechiras Chametz. What happens with Mechiras Chametz? A Yid owns Chametz in his house. Obviously, for Pesach, you're not allowed to own Chametz by Rabbi Yamas. So you sell it to the Goy. The Goy lives on the other side of town, sometimes the other side of the world, depending on the circumstances. And we have a Shtar Mechira. We're able to create a document, a shtar, where the guy pays money. And that is a kinyan. In that way, he's koina the chametz, he's koina the metalklin, or whatever it is that's in your house. We could do something similar with the goyish manufacturer. The roles are reversed. Here there's a yid buying it from a goy instead of a goy buying it from a yid. But the concept is essentially the same. You tell the guy, here is money, here is kesef, and you write a star that I'm koina. What am I koina? I'm not koina the final product. I'm koina the raw material, the sheet metal, or whatever it may be. And thereby, the guy who is fabricating, making these kelim, is being done under Ba'alus Yisrael, and l'choida, you don't have to need tefillah. Some technical nuances, perhaps. When it comes to Mechiras Chametz, there's another shaila. Especially the way we do it today, you sell the chametz of the whole town to one goy, and he doesn't have enough money to buy the whole chametz, so he only pays a down payment. Can we do that in this situation as well? It will even be better. By Mechiras Chametz, we have a problem that if the goy doesn't pay for the chametz in full, there's a shaila if that kinyan works. Mora says in halachas that obviously kesef is koina, but what happens if you don't pay for the full value and you want him to pay the full value? So if you sell something because you're desperate and you urgently need to get rid of it, then there's a shaila if there's a full kinyan if you don't pay in full. And therefore there's an achronim have a big discussion. What do you do out of Pesach when you're selling the chametz? You're desperately selling it because you want to get rid of it before the Zman HaYisur. How is you koina if the goy is only paying part of it? So there's different methods how it's done. One common method is instead of having the balance, the goy pays a down payment, the balance is not considered the balance of the sale price, it's transferred to a milva, it's transferred to a loan. It means that the goy really paid, he gave a down payment, let's say it's worth $100, he gave a down payment of $5, the other $95, he doesn't owe it in to buy the chametz. He owes it as a loan for what you're lending him, the money to buy the chametz. As if you're lending him the $95 to be able to pay you for the chametz, and now he only owes you as a separate loan, so it's not part of the kinyan. The Alter Rebbe in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he says a different age, he says that's not good enough, that not pshat, that you make it into a milva, you don't transfer the $95 into a loan. He says you use an Arav Kaplan. An Arav Kaplan is a guarantor, but it's not just the guarantor who is responsible if the goy won't pay the rest. He's a guarantor that takes responsibility even independent of if the goy is responsible or not. And in that case, the goy essentially doesn't owe you any money. And if a goy doesn't owe you any money, so that's how the kinyan of Mechiras Chametz works. When it comes to kelim, here the roles are reversed. There's a yid buying it from a goy, and you're not buying it because you're desperate. you're just buying it because you want to buy a kli. You happen to be buying it in a way that that you're buying the raw materials before they actually manufacture it. So l'chayda, you don't have this problem. And therefore, if you make a deal, is it an importer or a distributor here that wants to go to China, has a deal with a company in China, make me appliances, and instead of me buying the finished product from you to be able to sell, all I have to do is I buy from you with a kenyan, a shtar, with kesef, even if you don't pay the whole amount, you're able to tell them I'm koina the raw materials before you fabricate the kli, and now it's done by Baal Yisrael, and you don't have to do tefillah. This is step number one. That is really not good enough. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, Sinukuf Chav Hech Shekelen, Sif Yod, Yisrael, Shenosa, Kesev, Lom, and Goy, Lassus, Le, Men, Okli. If a Yid gives silver, metal, to a Goy to make a Kli, Ein, it's Aruch, Tvila, doesn't need Tvila, and that's pretty much what we just said. However, the Ramah says, V'yesh chilkin, there are those that argue, V'yesh l'toiv le'bele bracha, and you should be toiv without a bracha. What's the svara of the chilkin? The svara of the chilkin is, there's a din, uman koine b'shvach kli, that if you give an uman, you give somebody a kli to manipulate and to make it better, sweat equity of some sort, the fact that he put his effort into creating, making a shvach, enhancing the kli, he's automatically koine it. So what happens is if you take the silver, you take the metal, and you give it to the goy to make a kli, he now was meshabeach the kli, so he's koine it, even though it was yours before, but now he's koine it. Now what you're doing is you're buying it back from the goy. When you're paying him, you're essentially buying it back from the goy. So now you're starting from scratch. You're buying a kli from a goy. So,
he's just your worker, though.
He's just been a professional umman there.
That's right.
On behalf of the person who's the owner.
So there's two ways how to do
it. But you're not going to say, I'm going to go and buy potatoes and he cooks it. It's cooked by him. It's not mine.
That's something else. That by Bishul Akum, he's cooking it for you. And the din is that even in a... at least in most cases in the Beis Yisrael, even if he's in your house, you have a maid or somebody in the house that cooks your food, it's the Isra Bishalakam. But that's not, here we're talking about a Kenyan, which even though these halachas are in Yedideya, we have to use halachas of Chesha Mishpat to see what are the transactions, what are the halachas of transaction, who owns the Kli at the time. So if you say, Uman Koine Bishvach Kli, the Uman is Koine because he put something into it, even though you're paying him for his labor, it still belongs to the goy. So the truth of the matter is there's two oifanim how you can hire a goy to work for you. A kablan or a schir yoim. A kablan means that you're paying the craftsman, whoever you're paying, for the job. I don't care how long it takes you to make it. Here, take this metal, make me a pot, make me an appliance, and bring it back to me when you're ready. Obviously, within reason, but that's, you know, a technical thing. But I'm paying you the $50 to enhance the kli. So essentially what's happening is, when I pay you the $50, in the interim, you've transformed the kli into something new, into something different. You were coining it. And now when I pay you for it, I'm buying it back from you. But if you hire him as a schir yoim, which I'm not paying you to enhance or to... The job description technically is to take the metal and make it into a clean, but I'm not paying you for that particular job, I'm paying you for the day. I'm paying you an hourly wage, a daily wage, whatever it is, and therefore it's not directly related to the transformation of the metal into a clean, or whatever other examples we could use. And therefore, it does not belong to the goy. So the next step is, when you go to this manufacturer, you have to tell the goy that I'm paying you for the day, for the hour, or whatever, not as a kablan, but rather as a schir yoim, and then the goy is not koine it. Another oifen could be, because the goy, or whoever, the uman, who's koine the kli, through his uman, can't force someone to be koinah, someone he doesn't want to be koinah. So you can make a deal with them and say, hey, you know what, I'm paying you for this, I'm buying the raw materials, you make me the appliance, but make sure sort of he relinquishes his rights to be koinah the kli. So if he relinquishes his rights to be koinah the kli, he's not koinah the kli. And then it remains bebailus Yisrael the whole time. And now when you buy you get back the finished product, the appliance, or whatever it may be, it's still bebailus Yisrael, and ein achaya betvila, you don't have to do tefillah. This works if you're either a private person, you go to an uman, or even if you're a little bit of an entrepreneur, you go to a factory and you buy 10,000, 5,000 pieces and you sell it all over London, and everybody is knocking on your door and buying it. What if you want, if you're a bigger entrepreneur, now you want to be a big distributor importer, you want to sell it in Marks and Spencer, you want to sell it into the big companies. Now what's happening is you're on Amazon, I'm putting it on Amazon, now I'm giving it to a Goyish wholesaler, a Goyish retailer, and now you buy from him, now it belongs to a Goy. Is there not, and then the consumer buys it from the store, would he be chayev in tefila? So we have to see.
Sorry, the Goy is buying it.
No, the Goy is the manufacturer, right? But I'm the Yid, so I go to him, I buy the raw materials, I hire him to fix, to make it into a kli. I bring it home, and I come to the Beis Medrash over here and I sell it to everybody, it's still Bebailus Yisrael. But what if I commission Amazon to sell it for me?
And then a Yid
buys it from there.
Amazon is always, you have always to toil it after Amazon.
Okay. The Choyra, I go to, I don't know, you have Walmart, I don't know the stores, Marks and Spencer, they sell it to the store, and now he buys it from there. Choyra, you have to toivel it again. So, this, not so poshut. Sif Yud Aleph, Yisrael Shemocha Kli Legoy, if a Yid sells a Kli to a Goy, V'chazer Alokha Yemen, and then he buys it back from him, Tzarech Tvila, it again is required Tvila.
You talk about whether Yid produced it or he was the coiner.
Yid produced it.
And then he sold it onto the thing and now he's right here.
Yeah, and now he's selling
it. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes
yeah, and then
they're marketing it for Yid.
Oh. So very good. If you're using the platform, the Amazon platform, only as a way to sell it, your agent, then the choyra is still good. But what if not all contracts with Amazon work that way? And let's say you are a big entrepreneur and you're a big importer and you sell it to the retailer and then they sell it. Can I go now and buy it in the store? I know that it was made by Chaim Einkel. Yid made this whole process. It was done under Bailus Yisrael, but now it's coming from a Goyish retailer. So the pashtus, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that a Yid that sells it to a Goy, and buys it back, so it's filah. But he adds, the Shulchan continues, Aval imishkenoi biyadai. If he didn't sell it to the Goy, he only gave it to the Goy as a mashken, collateral for some other debt. Then v'chazer upadai, and then he takes it back because he paid the debt. Ain it sort of tvila. But what happens over here? There was no technical sale. But if you look from, without sound, then you see the transaction. The Goy gave the Yid money. He lent him money. The Yid gave him the Kli as a mashkan. Comes back 2 days later. The Yid gives money back to the Goy. And the Goy gives the Kli back to the Yid. Almost the same transfer of the money and the Kli from the Yid to the Goy happens. But just the way you're wording it, and
it's not the original Yid who gives money back to. It's a diff. It's not.
But the concept is the same.
The Goy is not able to sell it. It's not that he has got
by
Mishkan. He's got no balance.
So the Shaila is here when you sell it to the Goy the retailer, let's say the importer or the distributor, gives it to the guy or sells it to the guy, to continue to sell it to the next step, is he then chayav b'tvila? So we have one situation where we see that even though it's in biyad of the guy, it's not mechayev in tvila. But we also have another halacha. It's earlier in Sifches, and it's a little bit, I think it's in Sifches. Yeah. I'm not going to read it over here because it's not so clear. But what happens, the reverse? What happens if a guy makes the kli, and then he gives it to a Yiddish retailer to sell it on the market? And a Yid comes into the store and buys it, do you have to toivel it? I'm sure yes, everybody. You go into the store, even though you buy it on the Golden Green Boulevard, whatever it is, you buy it from the Yiddish store, it was manufactured by a guy, you still have to toivel it. What happens if this... I don't know the names of the stores over here, but the hardware store says, I want to have a better business. I'll import all the whatever, I'll buy the stuff, and I'll do a service. I'll toivel all my dishes, all my kalim, and I'll sell it. Get toiveled. Is that going to help? No. Why not? Because the din of the tvila is only by kli suda, when you're ready to eat it. The Yiddish retailer who's buying it has no intention to use it. It's considered like kli schoira, it's only has it for business. And therefore, there's no chiyuv of tvila because it's not really the yid's yet. It's still in transit till it comes to the final consumer. And if Taka, the Yiddish store, is toivelid, the one that buys it has to toivel it again, Taka on a bracha, but you still have to toivel it again. So maybe we can use the same concept.
That's the shop. Does it first?
Unless you buy it first, and then you bring it, you pay the shop first, and then they do it. You know, you see, I don't know if they have it over here, but in New Jersey we have it. There's a big sign, make sure you're not toivel it before you pay for it. It's not only because they don't want you to run away with it and pay it, but halacha, you can't be toivel it until you pay for it, until it becomes yours. If we use the same logic, that a chenveni, that the store owner who is the middleman from the manufacturer to the consumer is only in transit and it doesn't become kli suda yet, it's still considered kli schoira, perhaps we can use the same logic in the reverse. If a Yiddish manufacturer sells it to a Goyish retailer who then sells it to a Yiddish consumer, the Goy who's the retailer also is not koina in the sense, it's not considered under his name, it's not ishtaka the shmoy of the guy, and therefore there was no chiyuv of tvila. True, yesh lechalik, it's not exactly the same, but this is some poiskim will say that hayoyis, that the goyish retailer is only buying it not to be used but to be sold further, there's no chiyuv of tvila created. Just like by a Yiddish achemin who's toivelit doesn't patter the chiyuv, the goyish achemin, the goyish retail is not mechayev the tefillah either. So in that case, you can go into big business. You can be an importer, and you don't have to be limited to selling it just to the kehillah over here. You can sell it on Amazon. You can sell it on other methods, and still, you can claim that it's not chayev the tefillah. So this is a machloikas aposkim, obviously. Some would be machmer, that's the truth. Not rely on this, because it's not so clear. But there is such a svara, and there are those poskim that do allow it, that would not be mechayev tefila in with a retailer. I want to just, a few minutes.
With Amazon, it's slightly different, because a lot of what they do is fulfilled by them.
True. So I said that before, that if it's only fulfilled by them, then you're safe. If you know what's what. But if you don't know, or if it's sold to them, or not Amazon, there's other online businesses, other retailers. I know, I don't know if there's a Walmart that's popular, that you want, Costco, you know, the big guys. I want to just end off with one more inyan. Perhaps it's related to Tvilas Kalim as well. We mentioned the connection to Mechiras Chometz, but another connection of Tvilas Kalim to Mechiras Chometz. We sell our chametz to the goy. What happens after Pesach when you buy it back? Do you have to toivel your kelim? So they have this whole adion, and what's known by many people is that you don't sell the chametz. You don't sell the kelim to the goy. You sell the chametz. However, the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch, when he has a whole inyan, obviously, on Arichas, on Mechiras Chometz, he says that we sell Kelim Mechumotim Shesh Mechometz Ben, you actually sell the Kelim. Now, the Rebbe says you sell the Kelim to the Goy, he doesn't say anywhere about the Chiv of Tvilas Kelim afterwards, and Pukhazi, you see, no one is Toivel the Kelim, why not? So there's an interesting vort from the Rebbe, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, one of the few places where he uses Rashi and Chumash as a yisoy to explain this din of the Alter Rebbe. I don't have it. Let me see if I can pull it up here. The Chumash in Pasha Matas.
We have a Chumash.
You have a Chumash. Okay. So we mentioned before that the din of Tvilas Kalim comes from the story of Midian. After the war in Midian, it says, when I need it, I'm probably not going to find it so quickly here. That's the pasuk. We're not going to go into all the limudim of it, but Rashi says like this: what does Achba may need the yischata lefipshutoi chitoi zel the tari mitumas meis? The chitoi means you make a tari from tumas meis. Amar lahem tzrichim hakelim giul. Moshe Rabbeinu told the Yidden that you have to do hagola on the kelim the tari mina isur to remove the isur. V'chitoi l'tarim in atuma and achitoi to remove the sprinkling of the paraduma for the tuma. Then when Rabbi Seinu Dorshili can another din. Not only do you have to give it to the tuma, not only have to give it of giul, you have to kasher the kelim from the blias of the isur. Rabbi Seinu Dorshili can shavlach shira mina isur hitin tvila l'tchimatches. You also learn from here that in order to lahachshira mina isur to be machshed, then from the isur to do tvila, to toivel a mikvah. But the lashon of Rashi is very interesting. Sha'af lehachshiron mina isur, to be machshir them from an isur. Which isur are we talking about? The isur that was the blias, that you need to do agola, that you have to do fire, boiling water, whatever the process is. What is the lashon? So, but b'negei to agola, he says letara. But again, to tefillah, he says lahachshira mina isur. So the Rebbe says an interesting word. He says that the pshat, the din of tefillas kelim, is related to the blias isur. What's the correlation? We know that the chiv of tefillah is required even if there's no blias isur. You buy a new kelim from a goy, also chayv in tefillah. It's not because of the blia, other methods to remove the blia. But nevertheless, the chiv of tvila is when there is a possibility to use it b'isa. It's related to the inyan, to the isur, whether it's the poyol, as we say, practically was actually used b'isa by a goy, or at least it was potentially used b'isa by a goy. So the Rebbe says, oy bazay, that's the pshat in the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe says, by Mechiras Chometz, you're selling it to the Goy, but the Goy is not going to use it. And we know almost certain that the Goy is not going to use it and has no And if he has no possibility to use it under the current circumstances, it's taka no chiyuv in tvila. Because tvila is only when there's a potential for the iser. If taka the goy will come to your house and take it, then there'll be a chance to do business. Then you'll chayev in tvila. Even if the goy won't use it, if he actually takes it to his house, you'll chayev. Obviously, those others, they say that you don't sell the kelim. They hold that the mere fact that he owns it, that's also already considered lachshida menisa. That's also considered the potential for the isur. But it comes up from the Alter Rebbe that the potential to the isur is a much more practical potential to be used in the isur, and then you're chayv in tvila.
The
question is, when the manufacturer, so you have to say the pshat is that when the goy makes it, since when he makes it, he had the potential to use it, he had it in his hands, so then that's already, once it's mechayev tvila, you can't pater the tchiyev until you actually do tvila.
Well, you touch human hands, it goes straight from the factory to
well, you gotta. It's a good point. But you have to say that since they made it, it started off with their potential. There's more of a potential when they make it than if it was bought by a yid, sits in the yid's house, and the yid only sells it for the chametz, and he knows he's going to buy it back after Pesach. But al kapana, that's a way to explain on the Alter Rebbe. Can't say it's related to any other halachas. It's a chiddush, but al kapana, mishkoyach.
Very fascinating.
Lena Hofer is the man from the younger territory. Josh, switch up the. Good down, Miss Gadash, Meirabo. What would you use him? Because the Bahai, Femme, Hun, 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 Hun,